darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Lesson my sense catches up with me.
Jamie Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. A busy night in the National Hockey League tonight. Has 15 games. Then tomorrow it is Thanksgiving in the United States. So it's all about football from noon Saskatchewan time until about 9 p.m. 9 hours straight.
Give us your turkey sound effect. You got it in you.
I only use that off the air and in special occasions. Locker thinks I should put together a whole sound effects of me making.
I have never met anybody better than me at mouth noises. Like, you've got like a list of them. Shocking everyone. Your turkey is spectacular.
I can't do it when I think about it. It just has to emerge.
It's got
to
flow.
Yeah.
You need to be in your flow state to pull the turkey out.
Yeah. You can't just say, hey, do that. And then I can't do it. That's not going to work. The Toronto Maple Leafs are a bunch of turkeys. They are in the last place
professional broadcaster
in the Atlantic Division. Nick Kiprios, you hear him on the radio on Sportsnet 590 in Toronto. You see him on television, and you can read his columns in the Toronto Star. And that's where I want to start first off, Nick, is with your recent column on Austin Matthews, his health. I know he's back in the lineup now, but what is this conversation going to be over the next 2 years with the inconsistency of their captain?
Well, I think you just asked the $64,000 question that a lot of people are starting to ask. But, you know, in the meantime, I think it's a good thing that he's back in the lineup. He's the last two seasons battling injuries. Last year, it led, I think, to missing the first nine games and then a reoccurring one six games later. The goal scoring was down, of course, not anywhere near the 60-goal mark that fans have been accustomed to seeing. So at least in the good news is he's back playing tonight. And we'll see what happens here, guys. We're going to see whether or not he can create some of the magic and put some of these injuries behind him, or it's going to continue to be this lingering talk of, oh, is he 80%? Is he 90%? How hurt is he? Is that going to be the conversation moving forward here? And as far as everything else is concerned, obviously it's tied into the Toronto Maple Leafs and how much he can push them out of the basement and get them back in contention with a playoff spot. Until some of these answers, these questions are answered, I think Leaf fans have no choice but to just look no further than tonight and see what kind of response they get with a healthier lineup, including Nyes and Nick Waugh as well.
So when a team is like struggling, like most of the Canadian teams are right now, what we tend to do is we tend to start to look for the reasons why. So we might, you know, do deeper analysis. And it's easy to look at what's happening on the ice, Nick, but at the same time, you guys, I mean, I catch you guys every once in a while, you're having deeper conversations of what could be wrong with this team. And what do you keep coming back to?
Well, you talk to some of the greats that helped orchestrate and build championships, and a lot of people always start from the net on out. And, you know, whether we're talking about Edmonton or Toronto, we are talking about a team that has question marks in goal. The Leafs thought that they were okay with Stolarz and Joseph Woll, and then Joseph Woll disappeared, you know, at the beginning of training camp, and just been recently back in, and then Stolarz disappears on them. And we haven't yet to see them together all season long. You know, Skinner, the same thing in terms of question marks about whether or not he's a true number one goalie, or do they have to go out and get somebody. And then you move forward, guys, to the blue line, and both, again, Toronto and Edmonton are some of their metrics are some of the worst in the league. You know, 27th, 29th, 31st, 32nd. high danger chances given up, rush chances given up. I mean, there's a lot of leaks in the boat right now. And unfortunately, when you make $12 or $13 million, you know, the finger gets pointed at you, as it will as for Austin Matthews as early as tonight. And there's only so much that Connor can do and Leon Draisaitl can do. But if you ask me, the real issues on both these hockey clubs is that blue line, especially the Leafs as well, where they were so good last year. And of course, they don't have the Cale Makar or the Quinn Hughes that can quarterback half a game, but they had good veterans that played disciplined style last year, blocked shots, gave their goalie a chance to see the puck. That's all out the window so far this season.
Do you see the Leafs climbing out of this lull? Do you see them making a run to the playoffs as guys get back to healthy? Or is this going to be a long, very questionable season for Toronto?
I got to see more before I'm convinced that they're just going to come back. After 22 games and witnessing what I've seen so far, I don't believe that's going to be a possibility unless they flick this switch. And some of the things that we saw last year, including the discipline from the blue line and the goaltending, comes back quickly here. I think the thought that it was a chemistry issue, that they needed time to gel and the talent's still there and it's only a matter of time. Yeah, I think it's too late to talk about that. Again, the good news in all of this, guys, I think for the Leafs especially, is that the difference between last place and first place, it really comes down to a good week. Can you string three or four games in a row here? It's not a big ask anymore to have a good week, week and a half, and put together a three-game winning streak. If you can do that, then you got a chance to come back in the mix. You got a chance to regain some confidence. Maybe Stolarz is back next week, and you can start building from there. But I'll answer whether they got a legitimate shot to come back and be a playoff-type team or even make noise in the playoffs after I've witnessed a three- or four-game winning streak.
So out of all the Leafs storylines, Nick, which one are you sick of the most? And it's okay if it's Marner.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think everybody's off Marner now.
Yeah?
In all honesty. Yeah, because I think for the most part, they understand that this isn't just Marner. This isn't just his 100 points missing. There's bigger issues here on why aren't they listening to their head coach and why are they giving up so many odd man rushes and why doesn't it look like they're trying as hard as they are? And, you know, there's a ton of these questions here. How come Austin Matthews doesn't look like the second best player in the world right now behind Connor McDavid? Like, does he need Marner to do that, or is something else going on? These are the questions far beyond just Mitch Marner right now for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And again, there's a fork in the road here in the next week and a half, 2 weeks, where, you know, you're going to get yourselves back in the mix here, or are you going to dig the hole deeper? That's what we'll all watch now in the next 7 to 10 days.
Nick Kiprios, we have more with Nick. Want to dig into, is this just a team culture issue with Craig Berube as the voice now in the locker room trying to lead this team? Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker joined by Nick Kiprios of Sportsnet and columnist with the Toronto Star. I want to dig deeper on this, Nick. Is this a culture issue with the Toronto Maple Leafs? Is this just something's rotten in the core in Toronto? Because they bring in the ass kicker, Craig Berube, but it doesn't seem like anything's changing. So is this culture?
Well, I'm still waiting for the ass kicking right now, to be honest with you. You know, but I think there's an element of coaching right now in 2025 where a kick in the butt doesn't work as well. Maybe it didn't in my era. I'm not sure, but it just seems like there's a lot more patience for some of these guys. Where in my day it would be like, you're either getting traded, sent to the minors, or, you know, next man up. You're in the press box. We don't have time to wait for you to find yourself. And just seems like there's a lot more patience going on. So those bigger questions that you just asked me, nobody's ready to answer them in November. But come the new year, see where you're at in the playoffs, and then some of those bigger questions will start getting answered, no question.
Maybe we just need more safe spaces, Nick. Who's selling off pieces first? Like, who's the first fire sale? We got Canucks, Flames, Oilers, Leafs.
I had the St. Louis Blues out of the gate fastest to sell off pieces, and now it looks like Vancouver wants to jump ahead of them. Nashville, you know, Calgary seems still a little worrisome about sending a message out there that they're going to be sellers. But I think in 2 or 3 years with the pieces that they already have, plus the draft picks that are coming along for them, in that first year or 2 years in the new building, it's going to bode well for the timing of the Calgary Flames. But, you know, outside of that, there's going to be, I think, in the next week or two, maybe teams like Toronto or Edmonton that will take another crack at maybe, you know, fixing this before they completely, you know, go the other way. But Edmonton, we know, with Jeff Jackson, wants another crack at a Stanley Cup championship. And then the Leafs, of course, are still on the tail end of drafting Nylander and Matthews and signing Tavares, you know, almost a decade ago. So they're not ready to hang it up as well. So we'll see what's out there in the trade market and whether or not they can make a change or two here in the coming weeks to once again make people believe that they can compete.
Well, it's American Thanksgiving, Nick, of course, that time of year when like 77% of the teams in the playoffs make the playoffs is the average in the NHL. The Ottawa Senators are the only Canadian team in the playoffs. What do you think? Canadians, Leafs, Jets, Oilers?
Yeah.
Who do you think can make the jump into a playoff spot?
I'd like to think that Winnipeg's deep enough, even without Hellebuck for the next little while. So I think they should be fine. I think Ottawa, with their kids, are only going to get better and stronger. And love Pinto. Love Jake Sanderson. So I think they'll be fine. Montreal, I still worry about their goaltending. So that one's certainly a question mark. The Leafs are a question mark for me at this point.
The Oilers?
I don't want to ever think I can write off Connor McDavid and his ability to pull a team up, but they're going to have to make some tough decisions here in net, and whether or not they're pushing their blue line hard enough to compete. You know, something that kind of hasn't been talked about enough, I think, is the fact that Paul Coffey's no longer there, and he seemed to have had an impact and an influence, especially on that blue line that kind of feels like it all but disappeared when he left. So, Edmonton, I think, should still make it. And then Vancouver is going to have to regroup, as Jimmy Rutherford went on record, needing to get younger. And pretty much, Bob's your uncle. Are we missing anybody here?
Well, Calgary's a lost cause, I think.
Well, Calgary, I told you, is just focus on those first couple of years in the new building.
Right on. Well, Nick, thanks for your time. Enjoy game night in Toronto, and thanks for this.
My pleasure, guys.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. 15 games in the NHL tonight. The Oilers are the only Canadian team not in action after their 8-3 loss last night to the Dallas Stars. Drama at the Canadian Olympic curling trials at the final draw for the women this afternoon. Kerri Anderson loses to Rachel Holman, so Holman's into the final. Anderson will play Christina Black from Halifax at home with a big win, and then she needed Caitlin Laws to win with her final rock. Sturme was waiting. Black was watching. One or the other was going to be in, depending on the last rock by Caitlin Laws. And Laws' victory sends Christina Black's rink into the number three spot. On the men's ice tonight, the final draw of round robin action. Mike McEwen, Saskatchewan rink. They're going up against Dunstone, a win, and they are in the playoffs. A loss, they'll need some help. Guju takes on Jacobs. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we're going to preview some Thanksgiving football in the National Football League with Britton Gray on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. We were reminiscing on this day in Rough Rider history.
Rockford on the corner, end zone, touchdown, Elgar. First and goal, Saskatchewan. Austin will put it up again. Narcisse, did he get in?
You betcha it was.
Hamilton into the end zone.
That's a great catch.
We are tied at 40 with 44 seconds left to play. A 35-yard attempt for David Ridgway. It's up. It's good.
Yes, 1989, the greatest CFL game ever played was on this day in sports. Tyson texted in regarding the 1989 Grey Cup. I'll never forget having a hockey game that day. I was 14. The parents just basically dropped us all off. Some random stranger who I think could have been a grandfather ended up having to coach us, as our coach was a no-show for that one as well. In the 1989 Grey Cup. That's from Tyson.
Man, I miss the 80s. So much just, easier.
And get in the rink. We're going to the Grey Cup party.
Man, we were on our own.
You can walk home, find us later. Who's this guy coaching us? I think it's Jared's grandpa. Okay, sure. He's not a football fan. 1989, I was at a house party on an acreage outside of Lumsden. That was a fun night. That was a blast, the 1989 Grey Cup. The Tony Champion catch, contorting his body to tie the game late, was unbelievable. And then the kick. I still have the poster from that winter when they were handing it around the province of Dave Ridgway booting the field goal for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That is so foreign to me, right? Like, your mom still lives in the house she raised you guys in?
Yeah.
See, that's bizarre to me. That's just a different world.
Well, yeah, I can go down the block. There's a lot of people in the hometown.
Do you have still in that house? Do you have like stuff from when you were a kid, like your hockey card collections back at your mom's house and stuff like that?
No, I have them. Okay. In my house.
Oh, she finally said, "Why do
Here's a box of your junk that I don't need." But there are still things. Yes. When we go out to Lumsden, which will be out there for Christmas, of course, my son brings out my old Hot Wheels that I used to have and plays with those and my old mini sticks.
That's a trip.
Oh, yeah. The old Moose Jaw Warriors mini sticks when I used to go to Moose Jaw to watch Jason Fitzsimmons back in the day. That guy was. He's from Lumsden. He was a goaltender. If you're a Moose Jaw Warrior guy who goes back that far, you know, Jason Fitzsimmons, he was willing to fight as a goaltender. A WHL's run.
Not enough of that.
Times.
Those guys are dying breed.
On this day was the 1989 Grey Cup. It was also the 1966 Grey Cup when the Riders won their first. There's a little bit of Rider news to get to with Britton Gray today.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Yes, the Rough Riders locked up a star linebacker for the University of Saskatchewan Huskies.
Extra protection for Gonzalez. He's in trouble, and Hondeby sacks the Montreal quarterback. Here's pressure, Gonzalez. They've got him. Sacked. It's Seth Hondeby again.
Yes, Seth Hondeby, drafted last year in the fourth round. Britton has signed his rookie deal. He looks to be somebody to watch out for when he makes the jump to pros next season.
Yeah, he's really going to be dynamic for this team. Excited to see how his career develops from here on out, because, boy, he was something at U Sports. Obviously, the best defender in U Sports football this past season, won that trophy, and just a guy who's willing to do it all, who just wants to make the team. He was practicing long snapping at the combine, just a guy who's, hey, whatever you need, I'm going to do it. That's the kind of attitude you want. Excited to see the Riders were able to draft him and now get to really bring him into the fold this next season.
That sounds like a Corey Mace guy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, A.J. Allen, if they re-sign him, you got some Canadian depth now at one of those linebacker spots. As
how long does it take a rookie in that position to ease his way into the lineup?
Well, Varisek for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, he was a nominated for Rookie of the Year. He was a Canadian right linebacker right out of the gates. Okay.
Cam Judge, I think, was pretty early in his career. He got the starts.
He did next a 2 years. Bit. It was about year two where he really grabbed on. Usually it's not right away, but with the way Seth Hondeby was getting after it in the Vanier Cup, two sacks, not a couple of tackles. It was like 8.5 tackles in the Vanier Cup. A special talent for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders from the University of Saskatchewan.
Is he small for that position? No?
No. He's
got to be quick, right?
I don't know where he is on the size of A.J. Allen. I'm pretty well similar, if not bigger, than A.J. Allen as a linebacker. And clearly can get after the quarterback, too, on a rush. But, Britton Gray, are you calling in sick tomorrow by any chance?
Well, you're not supposed to say that on the air, Jamie.
Oh, sorry.
Come on now. No, I will be here, of course, to
you
everyone
don't
listening.
Look good. I mean, yeah, I think we should give Britton the day.
Yeah.
I think we might be feeling under the weather too, actually, Locker. Yeah.
Your buddy had a great idea.
What's that?
Broadway's.
Oh yeah, the Broadway Lounge for American Thanksgiving football tomorrow. The Packers and the Lions at noon.
The show will be live.
The Chiefs and the Cowboys, 3:30. The Bengals and the Ravens. It's a great Thursday of football. Is Creed doing the halftime show in Dallas tomorrow?
They should be. Should just every year be the halftime show.
But the first two games are games to watch. The Packers-Lions mean something. When it looks like at those two divisions and in that division with the Bears leading the way, how important is game one tomorrow, Packers Lions on American Thanksgiving?
It's very important, I think, for both of these teams. The Packers were looking like they were going to take the next step, right? They were looking like as soon as they made the trade for Micah Parsons, a lot of people had them in the Super Bowl. Jordan Love hasn't been overly impressive this season. They haven't really taken that step. And for the Lions, you're supposed to be in the Super Bowl. You have a team that's ready to go. They've kind of been figuring it out, kind of have taken a step back, though. Jahmyr Gibbs reminded everyone how good of a talent he is last week. And they're getting Frank Ragnow back at center, out of retirement.
Center. They're all pro center who retired at the age of 29 on the trend of early retirements in Detroit. Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders before him. Just announced this afternoon that their all pro center is coming out of retirement to finish the season with the Detroit Lions.
I'm curious where you guys ended up on the pick 'em pool, because those first two games are picks for our celebrity. What's the name of that thing?
The celebrity pick 'em pool, the Green Zone celebrity NFL pick 'em pool. And
we're losing again, by the way.
Yeah, because you went 0-4 last week.
That's a tough
right.
one.
Anchor.
Kingston Anchor picking for you again?
Yeah, no.
The prognosticating dog.
I got into my head.
I'm going.
By the way, you're dead last. You can't talk. You're dead last. You can't be throwing stones in glass houses.
It's been a wild
so
ride.
So where are you going?
I'm going with the Lions.
You're going with the Lions?
I'm going with the home team tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going with the Lions as well. I think they're more equipped to kind of handle this late season, been there, get to the playoffs. They'll be able to answer the bell.
And I'm going Packers on that game. Cowboys or Chiefs?
Well, let's break this one down. The Cowboys and the Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs had a big comeback win last week, of course, to give them a little bit of life. But right now, if the playoffs started today, they would be on the outside looking in. One game back of the Bills, Jags, and Chargers for one of the wild card spots. Huge game as well, because the Cowboys aren't quite out of it yet over there in the NFC. This is my game tomorrow. This is the game I want to watch. It's during the Green Zone. I'll see how distracted I can't wait, Britton, for the Cowboys and the Chiefs game tomorrow.
It's going to be.
This is
a
when
good
Britton
one,
leaves early tomorrow.
Hold on.
About 3 o'clock.
Hold on. Where? What are you picking?
I'll get to it. Let's break it down first.
Boy, since Quinnen Williams has joined that defense, they're doing very much what the Riders did, which is make teams one dimensional. Teams cannot run right now against the Dallas Cowboys. That offense has been clicked. George Pickens has more receiving yards than any of the Pittsburgh Steelers receivers, than all of them combined or something like that. He is leading the way. CeeDee Lamb hasn't been great, but he hasn't needed to be, which has been a breath of fresh air for the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're going to do it. I think if you would have asked me a month ago, I thought the Chiefs were going to come in and destroy them. Now with how the Chiefs are playing and how the Cowboys are playing, I think Dallas is going to win.
You're picking the Cowboys.
I got the Cowboys.
Yeah, of course you're picking the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You need the Cowboys to win, because if the Chiefs win this one,
they're getting into the playoffs.
Your playoff prediction's starting to slide away. I'm also picking the Dallas Cowboys.
Really, across the board?
It's not right in Kansas City. It's just not right in Kansas City right now. They're like the Oilers, right? Everybody's just going to expect them to go click, and oh, the Chiefs are into the Super Bowl. I don't think so this year for either team, that you're going to see them wave the magic wand and find their way in. And the final game tomorrow, it's a little bit more interesting Burrow's now that back. Joe Burrow is mm-hmm. back for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Ravens
in a divisional
really
game
win, though.
Against the Ravens, who have jumped to the top of the table in the AFC North, tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers on a 5-game winning streak for Baltimore. Have the Ravens figured it out, Britton?
Yes and no. They figured it out. It helps that Lamar Jackson's been getting a little bit healthier. He's still dealing with some injuries, and I think you've noticed that take away a little bit of his running ability, and that's forcing teams to pass. Now, he's a good to very good passer. He's not great. But I think the Baltimore Ravens, they're just a more complete team. Joe Burrow's back, but that defense is terrible. That Bengals defense is horrible.
Yeah, they have allowed 26, 34, 47, 39, 31, 27. When's the last time they allowed a team below 25 points? The first game of the year against the Cleveland Browns. That was the only time this year they've kept a team below 25 points.
There's also that weird Friday game, Bears and Eagles, 2:00. That's a prime game, I think.
Yes, that is the Black Friday game.
The Black Friday
For the Bears and the Eagles. So over the next few days, we don't have the Bengals and the Ravens, but I think we're all picking the Ravens.
I would pick the Ravens.
The Ravens for now, yes.
Although Burrow...
It is tougher with Joe Burrow playing.
Yeah.
He provides something to that Bengals team.
You think the Eagles can beat the Bears?
Nope.
Yes, they can.
Nope.
You're picking the Bears over the Eagles.
No Chicago.
Huh, that's interesting.
Something's wrong in Philly, whether people want to admit it or not.
Maybe they can get a Jason Kelce out of retirement like the Lions did with their center. That's Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray, as get ready for some American Thanksgiving ball tomorrow. We'll keep you up to date on the Green Zone if we're not all sick. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you in the Green Zone. Well, we know the top three teams on the women's side of the Canadian Olympic Curling Trials. Rachel Holman finishes first with a win over Carrie Anderson this afternoon. So Rachel Holman's into the best of three final. Carrie Anderson will take on Christina Black drama at the end of the women's draw. Christina Black and Selena Sturme.
It was a great finish.
Oh, they were watching Caitlin Law's final rock. If Laws missed her shot, Sturme's in the playoffs. If Laws made her shot, Black is in the playoffs. Caitlin Laws did make her final rock and won, which sent Christina Black into the playoffs to face Carrie Anderson in tomorrow's semifinal. On the men's side tonight, that Saskatchewan team skipped by Mike McEwen. They take on Matt Dunstone, a win, and they are in the playoffs. A loss? And I believe they're in the playoffs anyways with a loss. I think I'd have to go through it because McEwen beat Guju and Kevin Cooey. So if they lose,
the LSD is
there might be the last stone draw, but Dunstone will need a win. Guju,
who do you
needs
want
wins.
To go through?
Well, I want McEwen.
You want McEwen?
I want those Sasky boys in there. I'd like to see him head to the Olympics.
Is that the strongest team?
Well, I think it's Team Jacobs. Team Jacobs clinched their spot in the final.
Yeah.
Of course, that is Regina's Benny Hebert with Brett Gallant, Mark Kennedy, skipped by Brad Jacobs. That is a
I thought Dunstone was really
team.
Strong this year. But
well, there's the four. Guju, McEwen, Dunstone, Jacobs. They've been at the top of the table most of the Grand Slams this year. First rock, 5 o'clock. I have a curling draw.